Haley Newton. I'm 17 years old. Today is Thanksgiving, and I'm speaking with Bob, who is my granddad. We are recording this interview in Birmingham, Alabama. Can you tell me a little bit about your childhood? What were you like as a child?
I was a child that lived in 8 different places before I was 12 years old. So I never got used to any place where I lived. And I was, I don't know. I lived on a cotton mill village most of the time, and where everybody was supposed to do what they were told to do by the adults.
Okay. Tell me about a teacher or other adult that had a big impact on your life while you were growing up.
Oh, there's so many. One was a teacher who told me I needed to have glasses. That was about the 3rd or 4th grade. So I got glasses, then I could see what was going on in the classroom. Another was a Boy Scout leader who insisted that I stay in the Scouts instead of dropping out so I could earn the Eagle badge, which I did. And the most influential adults in my life were my mother and dad, which always believed that I could do anything, which didn't set well with my younger brother.
Are there any positive moments or memories from your life that you think shaped who you are today? Are there any negative events or memories that you think shaped who you are today?
Well, there were several events I thought were negative at the time, but they turned out to be fine. Like my first job at a 10-cent store was the man fired me because I was laughing at something one of the clerks said. And then as a result, I didn't have a job. I was about 10, 11 years old. And so then I got a paper route, which paid off a lot better than that job at the 10-cent store.
Okay. How would you like to be remembered?
I would like to be remembered as Marley's grandfather.
Okay, but, do you want
to... But seriously, you know. just remembered as a nice person who was willing to help people.
Okay, do you want to talk about serving in the military?
Well, I served in the Naval Air Reserve for 4 years while I was in college. And when I graduated, they called me on the active duty. So I went on active duty during the Korean War and went to Great Lakes in Illinois for training. And once they examined me, they turned me down and said, you have to go home because your eyes are so bad, we can't keep you in the Navy. So that was my experience.
Okay. Do you want to talk about being a teacher or professor?
All right. Well, from the time I was very young, maybe the 3rd or 4th grade, I helped in the kindergarten, which was just across the street from my dad's cafe. And I thought then I would like to be a teacher. So I went to college and wanted to be a music teacher and majored in music, and I taught music for a while, and then I decided that was not what I wanted to do. And I went back to college and got my doctorate so I could teach in college, and that's where I did for 38 years. I really enjoyed it. It was one of the best jobs I ever had.
You want to talk about being a writer?
Well, after I retired, I had written, during my teaching years, I had written several articles and a couple of books, but they were just about research. And then I had basically learned to write by writing a doctoral dissertation. Then, after I retired, I decided to write stories about my family. and I interviewed my mother's half-brother and half-sisters, and they couldn't keep their stories straight, so I decided I'd better not write those stories as the truth, but write them as fiction. So as a result of that, I wrote 6 novels.
Okay. Is there any interesting stories you want to share? Random?
Yeah. One of the most interesting stories was when we were interviewing my mother's half-brother, Uncle J.C., and his sisters were sitting there, and they were talking about their father's murder. And J.C. said, I was sitting on the front steps when this railroad man came up with something wrapped up in an oily rag, and he opened it up, and there was my daddy's shoe with his foot still in it. And that's how I found out the train had run over my dad and killed him. And then his sister said, J.C., that ain't the way it happened. You were too young. You were just 5 years old. So they got into an argument. But I used the story in my book anyway.
Oh, my God. Okay. Isn't there a story about the KKK?
Yeah, there's one about when I was president of the PTA at the elementary school where my daughters went. And when the schools were integrated, I stood in the schoolhouse door to make sure that there was no friction. That day, the teachers changed jobs. The black teachers went to white schools. White teachers went to black schools. And so I got into real trouble because I took the stand that there should be no violence, that we should do that peaceably. And then one night after we had been out, we came home and there was a cross in our yard that had been burned, but the fire had gone out. And I'm not sure if it was Luann or Mario, one of them said, those KKKs are so dumb, they can't even keep a fire going. And that was my experience with a burning cross.
Tell me about your early education.
Well, I mentioned that I lived in 8 different rental houses before I was 12 years old, but I also went to 5 different elementary schools. And one of them was a very rural school in Kellerton, Alabama, made of fieldstone. And so my folks had started work at a motel just over the county line in Coosa County, so that meant I had to go to that school. So I my sister and I rode a school bus that was an old flatbed truck that had benches on it, and they covered it up. So after riding on that bus a couple of days and then sitting in the classroom that had my sister and me in the same class, it was first grade through maybe third or fourth grade. And the teacher put me on the back row. Of course, that was before I got glasses, and she thought I was some kind of idiot, I guess, because I couldn't answer any questions. I didn't know what was going on. One guy sitting on my left was peed on the floor all day long, you know. And the woman and the girl sitting on my right slobbered all over herself. And I kept thinking, I'm not part of this group. Why am I back here? And so after 2 or 3 days of that, I would not go into the classroom, but go to the railroad track across the road and walk back to my dad's tourist court and cafe that he was running and wait for the school bus to bring my sister home. And then I would walk in like I'd been on the bus. Well, that happened for about 3 or 4 days, and then they caught on. And my dad pulled out a belt and started to whip me, and my mother said, wait a minute, let him tell you why he didn't want to go to school there. So I told him the story about how the teacher mistreated me. One day she had walked back there and slapped me because I had not answered her question. And I don't remember what the question was. And so my dad said, okay, that's it. So he put my sister and me both in a car he had borrowed because he didn't have a car, and rode us across the county line to Elk City Elementary School, which was much nicer, and then rode us there. So we rode the bus to Elk City every morning, but we had to walk about a half a mile to the county line to catch the bus. And that's one thing that saved my education life, because I did go to a good school eventually, and I went to that school for 2 years. Then my father moved into, he bought my grandfather's cafe, and we moved back into town, or on the side of town near the mill, the cotton mill, and I went to a good school there. So that was my best education experience, which is really a negative education experience.
Did you experience any of the Great Depression?
I was born toward the end of the Depression, but our family was so poor, working in a cotton mill for 10 cents an hour, both my mom and dad worked there, that we didn't know we were poor. We lived in a company house, and they had a good job. We didn't have much money. And at Christmas time, we got one toy each, as I remember.
Tell me about your experiences with music.
Well, when I was a child, I had an uncle that used to come and play guitar and sing songs. I remember a lot of those songs. And then my dad took my uncle and a couple of other people and formed what we called then a hillbilly band. They call it a bluegrass band now. And so they went around the different communities around Elk City and played for and charged 10 cents for people to come in and listen to them. And I remember when I was maybe 5 or 6 years of age, they were coming to the auditorium where I went to elementary school, and my mother took me, and we sat on the front row, and I had never heard my father's band play. And so when they opened the curtain and put the spotlight on him, here was my dad with makeup on. And I started laughing, and I jumped up and I said, "Dad is wearing lipstick." And my mom took me out and never let me stay and hear them play.